Well, family, it's a gift that our God gives to us, prayer, that we can come to the throne of God with all the ways on our hearts and on our minds and receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. So will you join me as we go to our Father in prayer? Let's pray together. Indeed, Father, as we begin our service, come back to Psalm 29 again, that you sit enthroned over the flood. You are enthroned over all darkness and evil, all that's scary and gives us anxiety. You sit enthroned as King forever. So God, would you give strength to your people? Would you bless your people with peace? This morning, Father, we pray particularly for those who are impacted by the flooding here in our own community and now all over our state. We pray, God, this morning, especially for the families of Matthew Morey and Stephanie Sally, both of whom died in the flooding. God, would you hide your people in the shadow of your wings? Would you calm and soothe their hearts with your songs of love? Would you strengthen your people and grant us your peace? We pray for those, God, who are rebuilding homes and businesses and lives. Would you strengthen your people and give your people peace? God, we're overwhelmed with just our own community and lives, and then we hear news of all the other things happening in the world with the continuing wars and an earthquake and shootings, and God, our hearts can only say, come, Lord Jesus. How long, God? What do we do? Would you strengthen your people? Would you grant us your peace as we wait on you? We pray that, God, this morning for Todd and Lisa Morgan as they've gathered around Todd's dad after Gene had a massive stroke. Would you hide your people in the shadow of your wings? Would you comfort them as they face death, and say goodbye, and navigate this, what seems to be an impending death of Dad and Grandpa? Would you have mercy, God? Would you grant strength to your people, peace for our anxiety? Margaret Ann Zivney's surgery was canceled this last week, and now she navigates. Should she have the surgery? What does she do about what's happening in her body? God, would you grant wisdom and direction and again, strengthen your people? Would you grant us your peace? We pray that this morning for Kevin as he leads us in discussing politics and the church, and all this exposes in our own hearts this anxiety. We pray, God, in this, would you strengthen your people, and that we would, as we disagree, would that strengthen that which unites us, namely our faith in Jesus? Would you use these 4 weeks to provoke us toward greater love and appreciation of one another, and the greater depth of unity that can handle disagreement and hard, frank conversations? Would you grant Kevin wisdom as he leads us? God, there are so many things in our world and in our lives, and so we come back again and again to your word. You sit enthroned over the flood, over all that is dark and scary, all that brings us anxiety, all that wreaks havoc. You sit enthroned as King forever. Would you give strength to your people? Would you bless us with peace, that trust in you, no matter what's happening around us? And Father, we thank you. We thank you even for these hard things, because we know that somehow in the midst of them you are good and kind. We thank you, God, for your good gifts. We saw Steve Smith honored in our community and by our state for just living out the love of Jesus where he works and lives and plays. We thank you for Steve and for that testimony. And we pray, God, these things would give us courage as we turn to your word to live out the love of Jesus through everyday acts of faithfulness. And so, Father, as we give these things to you that I've named, as we name these things in our hearts to you, would you strengthen your people and bless us with peace? We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. People of God, would you turn with me now in your copy of God's Word to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 31 to 35. If you're using the black Bible there in front of you or underneath you, if you're in the front or back rows, our text is on page 819. 819, Matthew 13, starting at verse 31. I'll also have it on the screen here, so when you get there, if you're able, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? If you're able, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Page 819, Matthew 13, starting at verse 31. People of God, hear now the word of our God. He, Jesus, put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it's larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened." All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. And this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world." People of God, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. And Father, we do thank you for your word and that you're pleased to meet us in it. God, we want to encounter you here in your word. So, Spirit, open our eyes to see, please, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand, that we might know you more, love you better, and that we might love like you love. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? Well, family, I know that it's only August, but I love Christmas. It is my favorite holiday, and it's not close. I love the lights. I love the songs. I love the atmosphere. I love the shopping. I love waiting for Christmas Day. And of course, many of you know, I love the snow and I love the wind. I love, I think, everything about Christmas. But I hate 4 weeks later when we pull all the decorations out of the church. We have to do it eventually. But it's so stark after all the trees in here and the lights and the wreaths, and then we come in and it's just bare. And it's so dark outside. And it's a reminder that it's back to the ordinary. Back to every day. That's actually the liturgical season that we're in right now, marked by the green cloth on the cross and on the table. The historical church calls this season ordinary time. The longest of the liturgical seasons, because it represents the majority of our lives. Our lives are not typically full of holidays and special occasions, nor are they actually typically characterized by crisis after crisis or storms and flooding. That's not most of our lives. Most of our lives are spent in ordinary time, and often the same thing day after day after day. Go to school, do your chores, have dinner, watch TV, go to bed, and get up and do it again. You go to work, you come home and do your chores, you have dinner, you watch TV, you go to bed, and you do it all over again. If you're retired, sometimes the days themselves just run together. I mean, how do we even mark time, right? What day is it even? Most of our lives are spent in ordinary time. And it's easy in the midst of ordinary time, it's easy to get discouraged or just bored in the midst of the same old every day. It's easy to get bored, easy to get discouraged, easy to just long for something new. Could something exciting happen in my, anything to just break up the monotony, right? But if we're not careful, that's where we can find ourselves getting into trouble. It's what happened if you read the New Testament letter called Colossians. That's what happens to the church in Colossae. In the New Testament, they get tired of the same old church, tired of the same old gospel, and they start looking for something new, something exciting to kind of spice up their faith and spice up their lives, mix it up a little bit, right? And they get caught up in some weird things in the church in Colossae. It's what happens constantly to the people of Israel. And this is especially crazy when you think about the history of the Israelites, because they saw some really amazing things happen. from God. All those miracles in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, that miraculous bread that comes down from heaven, all the prophets and their miracles, the miraculous victories and national deliverances. But it doesn't take very long before they get bored with the same old everyday following of Jesus. It doesn't take long before they get bored with ordinary time. It doesn't take long for them to start looking for something else, something new, something to spice up their lives, spice up their churches, spice up their faith. You know, this everyday faithfulness in ordinary time, it's really hard sometimes. It's hard to keep going. It's hard to keep doing the same thing day after day after day. It's hard to keep praying the same prayers, praying for the same person day after day after day. It's hard to get up every day to keep reading our Bibles day after day after day, to keep coming to church week after week, Bible study week after week. The everyday faithfulness of ordinary times sometimes can just be really hard. It gets discouraging, it gets boring, and we start to feel this pressure for something new, something different, something exciting. And that pressure can start to get to us. I think this pressure, and combined together with this call to everyday faithfulness, that's at the heart of Jesus' parables this morning. Jesus here is inviting us into ordinary time, calling us to that everyday faithfulness of following Jesus. And listen, family, I get it. This last week has been anything but ordinary here in Muncie, right? A 1,000-year event in terms of the percent chance of getting that kind of rainfall. Families who have been devastated. 2 people have died. Families have lost their homes. Families have lost their businesses. And our community is going to take a long time to rebuild some of the areas that have been impacted. And yet at the same time, most of you here didn't even get water in your basements. In a week or two, many of your lives won't look that different than they did a week ago. You'll be in school, you'll be back in sports, you'll be back at work or back in your regular everyday rhythms. And of course, right, we're all looking for ways to help. We want to give, we want to contribute to our community. But even with adding some kind of helping others, for the most part, our lives will go back to the everyday rhythm of ordinary time. And Jesus here is calling us to faithfulness there, to that everyday faithfulness of ordinary time. So how do we do that? What does everyday faithfulness look like? Here's the call of our text to us this morning. Study, obey, and hope. Study, obey, and hope. 3 ways that we can press on toward everyday faithfulness in the middle of ordinary time. Study, obey, and hope. Let's start this morning with study. We're in Matthew chapter 13. You'll notice in verse 35, Matthew quotes from Psalm 78 to explain to us what Jesus is doing. And now, if you've been with us at all, as we've worked our way through Matthew chapter 13, we've seen Jesus or Matthew, they both do this, right? They explain the parables by interjecting some kind of comment, explanation, or Old Testament quote. So Matthew here quotes from Psalm 78. So what do we do when the New Testament writer quotes an Old Testament text? Anytime New Testament writer quotes an Old Testament passage, they never just pluck the verse and apply it to a new context. They always mean to bring that whole context forward back from the original context. So what do? We go back to Psalm 78 and see what is the Lord doing and saying in Psalm 78, and then we'll be able to understand what Matthew is doing to explain to us what's happening here in chapter 13. So let's turn to Psalm 78. I'm going to put part of it up on the screen if you just want to follow along there, or turn with me in your Bibles. If you do, keep something there in Matthew 13. We'll move back and forth just a little bit this morning. But let's go to Psalm 78, and I just want to read to us these first 8 verses. Psalm 78. If you're in the Pew Bible, we're on page 488, 488. First 8 verses. Here's Psalm 78. A maskil of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I'll utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We won't hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments
and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Psalm 78 here, we keep reading, it's a long psalm, but it's a call to Israel, right? We see this in the last couple of verses. Put your hope in the Lord, right? Trust God, obey God, be faithful to God. And it calls us to that trust in light of Israel's constant lack of trust, right? Israel keeps turning away from the Lord. All the rest of the psalm is full of example after example after example. Here's God's mighty deed. Here's God's mighty rescue. Here's God's mighty power. And yet Israel turned away. And yet Israel rebelled. Ultimately, the psalm ends with the coming promise of David, that God was sending a king like David, a future shepherd king, right? The coming Jesus, who will lead and rescue his people. What I want us to see here at the beginning of Psalm 78, look at verses 2 and 3. The key to faithfulness here, the key to following the Lord in the everyday, not turning away from him in ordinary time, in rebellion, like the rest of Israel, the key to faithfulness is to study the things of old. Study the history of God's people, especially as it's recorded in God's word. Meditate and reflect on God's mighty actions in the past, his promises, his actions, his faithful keeping of those promises, his mighty deeds. That's what verse 4 told us, right? Tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. Here's the key to everyday faithfulness in ordinary time. It's study. Keep studying the Lord. Keep studying the word and ways of God. Keep studying who he is and what he's done. And what Matthew, this is exactly what Matthew's telling us in our text in Matthew 13. He says, when Jesus speaks in parables, right? Jesus, by speaking in parables, is inviting us in to study those parables, right? Press in and study the story. Study what Jesus is saying. Study this word. Study the ways of God. Jesus himself at the end of Matthew 13 actually is going to say this exact thing when he talks about scribes who bring out treasures, both old and new. He's talking about studying the Old Testament, the old treasures. He's talking about studying the teachings of Jesus, and then after the apostles, studying the New Testament, bringing out new things. Jesus is calling us to study the word and ways of God. This is the key to everyday faithfulness in ordinary time. Keep studying the Lord. Keep rehearsing his word and his ways. Keep reminding each other. Psalm 78, tell the next generation. Tell one another what God has said. Tell one another what God has done. Remind one another what God is like. Keep proclaiming all these things, even to the next generation and the generation after that. Study the word, study the ways of the Lord in order to stay faithful in the everyday, faithful in ordinary time. But if you were to keep reading in Psalm 78, Israel doesn't do that. Israel doesn't remember, doesn't rehearse, doesn't study the word and ways of the Lord. And so Israel kept turning away, bored with the everyday, looking to add excitement to ordinary time, running everywhere else for help in times of trouble. So Matthew here, as he quotes Psalm 78, and Jesus here, through these two parables, they call us to study, but they also call us to obedience. They call us to that steady faithfulness of the ordinary through everyday obedience. I love how Eugene Peterson puts it in his meditation on the Psalms of Ascent, a long obedience in the same direction. That's the call to everyday faithfulness in ordinary time. So let's look at that now in our second point this morning, the call to obey. If you have Psalm 78 still open, you can read through Israel's history there. And what we see is God's people keep forgetting. They keep neglecting the study. And as a result, they keep turning away from the Lord. We scan through Psalm 78, and we get this review of Israel's history. Here's just a couple examples. They didn't keep God's covenant. They forgot his works. It's a long psalm, right? We're all going down to verse 56. They sin still more. In spite of all this, right? Here's these wonders of God. In spite of these wonders and provision, they still sin. They tested God again and again. They didn't remember his power, yet they tested and rebelled over and over and over. They forgot and rebelled. They didn't study. They didn't remember. And that means they didn't obey. So the psalm writer puts this song together and says explicitly, we study, this is Psalm 78, verse 7, we study so that we set our hope in God and not forget his works. But rather, again, Psalm 78, verse 7, but rather we keep his commandments. We study in order to obey. These two parables in Matthew 13, they're a call to that everyday obedience. If you're in Matthew 13, verse 31, and then verse 33, notice the main characters in both of these two stories, the mustard seed story and the yeast story, these are just everyday people. An everyday man, an everyday woman. Ordinary man, ordinary woman. And what are they doing in these stories? Everyday things. Planting a field, baking bread. Everyday people doing everyday things. This is a call to everyday, ordinary faithfulness, because this is how the kingdom of God grows and spreads. The kingdom of God grows and spreads not usually through the big things, right? A revival, a miracle, a tragedy or a crisis. Of course God uses those things, right? Don't hear what I'm not saying, right? Of course God uses them. Sometimes he uses them powerfully, but ordinarily, God's kingdom normally grows and spreads through small everyday acts of kingdom obedience. Mustard seed kinds of acts, yeast in the dough kinds of acts. The way that God's kingdom grows and spreads is through everyday acts of faithful obedience in ordinary time. Forgiving a classmate who just chews obnoxiously loudly. Taking a meal to your sick friend. Doing laundry, right? You have people around you who have washer and dryer flooded, right? Doing laundry for someone who's just overwhelmed. Or you just know a family with little kids and their just life is crazy. And you're just like, let me come over and just do laundry, right? A note of encouragement. Saying thank you to somebody. I mean, they're like, these are so small and feel insignificant, don't they? And that's actually Jesus' point. That small everyday thing is the very thing that the Holy Spirit uses to grow and spread his kingdom. That this is living out our trust in Jesus day by day. A kind word here, not speaking or posting out of anger. Somebody comes and they're just venting and raging, right? And we want to respond and react. I'm just going to listen and be a friend. Helping somebody carry out wet furniture from their home. That this is the natural outworking of faith in Jesus. He's brought us into his family through his death and resurrection. He's placed his Holy Spirit within our hearts. And now through us, he's making all things new. Not through some big event, not through some big conference or revival. Again, there's place for that. But the primary way, the normal way, the ordinary way that the Holy Spirit renews the face of the earth is a mustard seed act over here. A kneading of yeast into the dough over there. These small acts of everyday faithfulness, everyday obedience done over and over and over and over again by you and by me, by all of God's people, right where we live. And through us, God renews the earth. Through us, God is changing the world and making all things new. You want to do something, you want to make things better, you want to fix the world? Mustard seed right where you are. The bulk of our lives is spent in this everyday faithfulness. Little acts of obedience where you live and work and study and play over and over and over and over again. That's how the kingdom of God grows and spreads. But it gets old, doesn't it? It feels to me, I'm not really doing anything, right? I mean, you take a meal, you do a load of laundry, you just say thank you. You're like, is this really having any impact on the war in Ukraine or Iran? Is this really, right? So I did someone's laundry. How is that helping our city rebuild after being buried in this flooding? I want to actually do something, right? All I did is I prayed for a little while. I actually want to make a difference, right? That brings us to our last point this morning. Again, Psalm 78. Sing the song, teach it to your children. Why? So that they will set their hope in God. Jesus tells these two parables to teach us to hope, to remind us of his work and of his ways and of his building of his kingdom so we wouldn't get discouraged, so we wouldn't get bored. And so let's end with that. How do we stay faithful in the everyday? How do we pursue everyday faithfulness in ordinary time? We keep hoping. We hope. Notice both of these stories here that Jesus tells have exaggerated outcomes, right? Notice the mustard seed, Jesus says, turns into this giant tree where birds are all coming around to nest in the tree. Now, of course, it's true. The mustard plant can grow to be large among garden plants, maybe even as big as 10 feet tall. But it's not exactly a tree. I have bigger trees in my yard, right? We have bigger trees in front of the church, right? We wouldn't say birds are flocking around to nest in the mustard bush, right? This is an exaggerated outcome. Jesus is exaggerating the outcome exactly to make this point. When God takes our small everyday acts of obedience, our small everyday faithfulness, he multiplies its effect into an outsized product compared to its beginning. Itty bitty seed, giant tree where the birds are coming to flock. And that's the point. A small seed becomes a big tree. A small act of obedience becomes this giant kingdom work, impacting so much more than you would think at first glance. Yeah, we see the same thing in the yeast, right? Itty bitty amount of yeast, but as she hides it in the dough, it spreads all throughout the dough. Again, Jesus is making the very same point. What looks small and insignificant to you and me, what seems like, look, I didn't really even do anything. I know many of your lives, I could say, the things that you are doing for the kingdom, and you're like, I didn't do anything, right? That's the point. God takes that small everyday act of faithfulness and grows it into big kingdom impact. These everyday acts of faithfulness, the small fruit of the Spirit that you're bearing in your life, and he uses them to multiply and grow his kingdom. That's the hope of the kingdom. That's the hope of the kingdom. It's not by might or by power. It's not by flash or by show. It's not by big things, but by mustard seed and yeast, by small everyday acts of faithfulness. We study these stories a little bit more. You'll see these short stories are actually full of eschatological significance. Now this word, eschatological, right? It just refers to God's final promise keeping, right? God eventually fully and finally doing everything that he promised to do, fully and finally making all things new, whole, and right again. That's eschatology, right? Eschatological significance. At the end of the world, everything is better, right? And these two pictures remind us of that end, remind us of that hope. So, for example, in the mustard seed, you read through the Old Testament, the tree is often a picture of the nations, especially of God restoring the nation of Israel as this picture of what God's going to do through his people in the end of the world. And so you have this giant flourishing tree, and the birds coming to nest in the tree are taking shelter under the tree. That's God's picture in the Old Testament. He says, one day I'm going to heal the world, and I'm going to bring all of the nations to shelter under the rule of my people. I'm going to one day finally and fully make all things new, whole, and right again, and there'll be peace on the earth. That's this image of the tree and the birds and taking shelter. These small everyday acts of faithfulness, what Jesus is saying here, these small everyday acts of faithfulness are part of God's way of bringing peace on the earth and making all things new again. It's the same thing in the yeast image. Right. Notice he gives this really specific measure of flour. She hides it in 3 measures of flour. Not 1, not 2, not 4, right? 3 measures of flour. It's weird, it's really specific, isn't it? You're reading through Matthew 13 and say, we don't learn how many seeds fall on the road. We don't know how many seeds fall on good soil. We don't know how many mustard seeds get planted, but we know 3 measures of flour. Why so specific here? It's because this becomes a big amount to bake enough bread for 100 people, right? The image here, the picture here is intentionally of a giant feast. This woman is preparing a feast. She's preparing a banquet, right? Well, that's often a picture in Scripture of the fullness of God's promise. The end of time, God healing the world, God gathering his people, is often shown to us in this picture of a wedding feast or of a banquet when we all come together and celebrate as a family. See, what Jesus is doing here, he's highlighting the end of time and his eventual return. Jesus will come. That's our hope. Jesus will heal the world. That's our hope. Jesus will eventually make all things new, whole, and right again. That's our hope. And your everyday acts of faithfulness in ordinary time, they're actually a part of God keeping his promise right here and right now. Core part of God bringing about that newness right here and right now. That family, that's how we persevere in ordinary time. That's That's how we live toward the promises of Jesus. He will come. He will heal all things. He will bring in the nations. We will celebrate at his final end time feast, and you're part of his plan to bring that about. Your everyday acts of faithfulness this afternoon and tomorrow and the day after that and the week after that, this ordinary living, this loving, living and loving like Jesus, right where you live, work, study, and play, that's part of God healing the world, growing that shade tree, preparing that end time feast. That's the hope Jesus offers us this morning in these stories. Hope to press on toward everyday faithfulness in ordinary time. And it's hard some days. We want Christmas and Easter every day, right? We want summer vacation all the time. We often get sucked into this, boredom in the day after day after day after day after day, doing the same thing all the time. We want something new. We want something exciting to spice up our life or our faith or our marriage or something. Or even here, we want to respond to Christ and say, I want to do something big. I want to rebuild the Yorktown Library. I want to go fix that park. I want to, all these things. But most of our lives, for most of us, living and loving like Jesus, it's a mustard seed here, kneading yeast over there, doing the same thing day after day after day with the same people day after day after day, over and over and over again. Most of our help after all this flooding will be in small everyday acts of generosity and service. That's actually by design. This is, right, the man planting mustard seed. This is the woman kneading yeast into her dough. This is how God grows and spreads his kingdom. So study. Study God's word and ways and character. Obey. Everyday people doing everyday things, shining the light of Jesus where we live, work, study, and play. And hope. God is building his kingdom. God is bringing in the nations. God is preparing his end time feast. Everyday faithfulness in ordinary time. Will you pray with me? And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this reminder. We confess, I confess, sometimes the boredom of the everyday to get up and do the same thing day after day and week after week, and even that longing for something new or significant or impact or to just some spark of something. We thank you for this reminder that the ordinary ways that you work are through us obeying you right where we live and work and study and play. So would you nourish and strengthen us? Would you give us your joy in that work, that we would delight in it, in every day the sun coming up, in every season, just like the last? God, would you give us faithfulness in ordinary time? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.